hear God's word, Ephesians 5:18-21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word of the Lord. We hear the phrase a lot, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're wondering, what is this filling all about? Maybe we hear about people being filled with the Spirit. And we can think of all of these more extreme examples. So someone filled with the Spirit is someone who speaks in tongues, or someone with the Holy Spirit filling them is someone who can do miracles. If you're filled with the Spirit, you do these big, dramatic, powerful actions. That's a Spirit-filled person, we might think. And then, for the regular, everyday Christian, being Spirit-filled is not part of our experience. That's what we think. That's what maybe we're wondering about. Is there something for the everyday Christian, day in, day out, for those who love Jesus and want to follow him, can we be filled with the Spirit? Or is it only reserved for these super amazing spiritual persons? When we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we have the command to be filled with the Spirit. And this letter to the church of Ephesus would have been read to all the congregation members. So what this passage is saying is that every Christian can have the experience of being filled with the Spirit. Now the Bible does have examples of people filled with the Spirit and they do miracles. Some of the disciples, the apostles, are filled with the Spirit and they do such things. But that doesn't mean that has to be the normative of our Christian walk. Ephesians 5 is about what it looks like every day for Christians to be filled with the Spirit. So I want to ask this text four questions, and we'll answer it here this morning. First question is, who are we filled with? Second, what does it mean to be filled? Third, what is the behavior of those who are filled with the Spirit? And then fourth, how can we be filled? So first, who are we filled with? Well, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what verse 18 says. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. We confess that there is one God in three persons. So you've got Father, Son, and Spirit. And each person is different. They have their own different identity and work to do. The Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Spirit. And the Father is not the Spirit. Three separate persons. Jesus, the Son, died on the cross. The Spirit did not die on the cross. The Father did not die on the cross, but only the Son died on the cross. The Spirit fills us. The Spirit empowers us. Not the Father, not the Son directly, but it's the Spirit. So you've got different persons, different identity, and yet there's only one God. And the Spirit is eternal and divine. The Son is eternal, omniscient, sovereign, and divine. The Father is omniscient, eternal, and divine. All of the persons of the Godhead share all of the qualities of divinity. And they share each other's qualities. So one God with three separate persons. And we don't have to fully understand this. I don't think we can grasp it fully with our minds. But this is God's way of revealing who he is to us in a way that we can grasp at least somewhat. So when you think of the Trinity, you think of how amazing God is. That the best way to know him is a triune God. One God, three persons. He's that great that we have to try to think through this amazing truth. So the Spirit is God. And this is very significant for the everyday Christian. Because if we are filled with the Spirit, that means we are filled with God Himself. God fills us with Himself. That means God loves us. God desires a relationship with us. It means that our God is present with us in all circumstances. Jesus says, I will be with you to the very end of age. Well, He ascended into heaven, so how is He still with us? He sends us His Holy Spirit, and the Spirit dwells in us, fills us. So God Himself lives in our hearts. That means God is always with us. God's love is always there. It means we're always in God's presence in a very special way. And God will never leave or forsake us. So as you think about the Holy Spirit being God, just take a moment and marvel at our God, love Him, and worship Him. The Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Spirit is a He. The Spirit is a person, the person of God who lives in us. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't He great? Second question, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer to that lies in verse 18. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So the Bible is comparing and contrasting being drunk with alcohol and being filled with the Spirit. So the answer to that question, what does it mean to be filled, has to do with the difference between how does alcohol fill us versus how the Spirit fills us. If you think about alcohol for a moment. Alcohol has been said to be liquid courage. Now, it's not liquid courage, but it's been said to be liquid courage. Some of you are smiling that you felt the effects of this before. So people take a shot before, like a guy could take a shot before he goes to ask a girl out. You know, he's got to get drunk before he does something because he feels empowered to do it. Alcohol enables people to do what they couldn't or wouldn't do on their own. Or you often see people getting drunk before they go onto the dance floor because they would never normally just go out and dance. They'd be too fearful of what people think. Well, with alcohol in them, they feel like they can go out there and let loose. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to do what we couldn't or wouldn't do on our own in a much better way than what alcohol could do. So being filled with the Spirit is the empowerment of the Spirit to do what we couldn't do on our own. So we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about spiritual gifts. We all have gifts. We couldn't do them on our own. We didn't get them all by ourselves. But God gave them, and He empowers us to do it. And what He calls us to do, He gives us strength to do it. What God calls us to do, He empowers us to do. We can be confident of that. I think of Stephen in the book of Acts. There he's being stoned to death. And the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit, and he looked to heaven, and there he sees this vision of Jesus reigning at the right hand, and Stephen endures the persecution. How could he have done that? How could he maintain the faith while rocks are being hurled at his head? It's because the Spirit empowered him. He couldn't do that on his own. Without the Holy Spirit, Stephen or anyone would forsake Jesus, renounce the faith, spare their lives. But there Stephen, empowered by the Spirit, could maintain the faith at all costs, even as rocks crushed his head. So being filled with the Spirit also means that we are filled with joy. So think about alcohol. People drink alcohol in order to try to find happiness. And this is why 5 o'clock is called happy hour. That there are people who cannot whistle while they work. They carry stress and anxiety with them every minute of the day. There are people who can't stand their jobs, they can't wait to clock out, so they get done with work, and the first place they hit up is the bar at happy hour. And while they're sad and melancholy all day long, they're able to laugh with their friends after a few drinks are in them. I'm not saying that's right, but that's what people do. Well, think about the Spirit for a moment. Being filled with the Spirit is all about the joy that we have, overflowing with joy, as what Dennis Bosman prayed about, overflowing with joy. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you are pointed to Jesus. That's John 16. Jesus is going to give the Spirit to point to the truth of Christ, and so that the Spirit glorifies Christ. So the Spirit is all about Jesus. He's the floodlight. You don't see the floodlight, but you see the landscaping that the light is on. And the Spirit's always pointing the light on Christ. That's what the spotlight is on. And so when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the joy of who Jesus is. You see Jesus as your Savior, and you love Him as your Savior. And you have got that personal relationship with Him. And you know that you are saved and your sins are forgiven. You've got life everlasting. And all of that joy is greater than anything else on earth. And you're just brimming up to the top with it. And it's overflowing. And you can't stop talking about Jesus with people. And you pray and you look to Christ. It's that joy. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. In order to get drunk, you have to have a lot of alcohol. Now, some people might be lightweights. They take one sip and they feel dizzy. But generally speaking, you need a lot of alcohol in order to be drunk. Well, it's the same way with the Spirit. What does being filled mean? To have a lot of the Holy Spirit. And that Greek tense for be filled with the Spirit is to be filled over and over and over again. Because we go through ups and downs in our Christian life. It's like a roller coaster. We feel that joy, but then the darkness seems to hide Christ and we get depressed again. And so that's why the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit is to keep being filled. We have to keep looking to Christ, keep looking to the Spirit, keep seeking that fulfillment, because we go through dry periods. The desert is very much our experience. People drink alcohol in order to cope with life. And alcohol has a numbing effect. That's why people get drunk. They want to forget, at least for a few moments. And of course, alcohol never solves the problem, because the problem is always there when they're done. When you think about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit enables us to cope with life. Alcohol can't help us cope with anything, but we've got the Spirit. What is the Spirit doing? Directing us to the truths of Scripture, bringing to mind Bible passages, bringing to bear in our hearts biblical principles. And there's our strength to cope with life. There's our strength to persevere. And the Spirit, it is the opposite of alcohol. The alcohol is a depressant. It numbs you. But the Spirit enlivens us, and we can cope with life far better than with alcohol. So all of these things are what being filled with the Spirit is all about. That's why the Bible says, don't get drunk with wine. This is a sin to get drunk. This is debauchery. Instead, we should seek to be filled with the Spirit, because it's the Spirit filling that gives us true joy, true strength to deal with the difficulties of life, and a focus on Christ like we've never had before. So that's what being filled with the Spirit is all about. Third question: what behavior do people filled with the Spirit demonstrate? Well, that's what verses 19 through 20 are all about. In the Greek, 18 through 21 is all one big, long sentence. And the main verb is, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So those are main verbs. And in the Greek, 19 through 21 are all participle phrases underneath that main verb. And the way that participles can work in the Greek is that it's showing us what this looks like. So what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? What is our behavior? If you're filled with the Spirit, what do you do? That's what verses 19 through 21 are about. They're not showing us how to get filled with the Spirit, but they're showing us what it looks like. So if you are filled with the Spirit, what do? You speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So someone filled with the Spirit is speaking to people with a flavor of worship on their tongues. You're able to praise God on your own, and the way you talk to people, there's a sense of praise. So you're using Christ-centered language. You're saying things like, here's what God is doing in my life. Here's what Jesus is doing. Or as you're dealing with your friends' struggles, you're pointing them to Christ, and you're showing how the gospel makes a difference. You're building each other up. That's what Keith said. You can't wait to encourage. You can't wait to comfort. You're filled with the Spirit. You're going to do everything you can to be Christ-like to people. That's going to color how you talk to others. Another behavior of those filled with the Spirit is you're singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So what that means is that you're singing and you mean it. You're worshiping in spirit and truth. There's an authenticity, a sincerity, that you really love God, and the words you say, you mean. The notes you sing resonate with the emotion in your heart, and the words you sing resonate with what you want to express to God. So you know a spirit-filled person by how they worship. They're worshiping from their heart, and they are so focused on who God is, and they're just adoring God through it all. Verse 20, another behavior of a spirit-filled person. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled person is always giving thanks. So their prayers are filled with thanks. Thank you, God, for doing this. That they're able to see where God is at work in their lives and can pinpoint it and say, God, there you are. I praise you for what you are doing. I think about how some of us can be, how I can be at times. Very selfish, very me-centered. You know, me, now. That's how I am to God in prayer at times. God, you're there to be my personal butler. You got to serve me. Do this for me now because I want it done. And it's not wrong to make prayer requests. But the Spirit-filled person is not characterized by me and now. The Spirit-filled person is characterized by how well you're able to give thanks to God. It says, give thanks for everything. So in all life circumstances, even in the suffering as well as the joy, you can see God at work and you praise Him. And the last characteristic of a spirit-filled person mentioned in our passage is verse 21. It says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to each other. So what should church members be doing to each other? Submitting to each other. What does that look like? Well, it means you see the best in people. You see God-like qualities in people, and you encourage them accordingly. You see where God is at work, and you find joy in that, and you praise God with other people. You see God at work in someone's life. Hey, I'm going to share that joy. I want to share that joy. I'm going to sing with you. I'm going to pray with you. Instead of being jealous at what God is doing or envious. Well, God, you're working in that person's life, but not mine. No, you're submitting to another person. Look, there's God at work. I'm going to get up alongside of that person and celebrate with that person. It means that we're going to be bearing with each other, putting up with each other's faults and sins. It means that we forgive each other. It means we confess our sins to each other. That if we hurt someone, then we take the initiative and repent, ask forgiveness. Or if we're the one who's hurt and that person's not repenting, we submit to that person by humbling ourselves and say, hey, you hurt me. Let's talk about this. I would like you to confess and repent. Because sometimes people don't even know the sins that they do, and you have to point it out to them. So all of this is submission, humbling yourselves under another person, swallowing your pride, and being like Jesus in your sacrificial love. I remember hearing one person say this: I love my church. I love my church because people from all different walks of life come together and serve each other. And he went on to say how there's people in business suits that come to worship on Sunday. And there's people next to rags coming into the worship service. And they're all worshiping together, using their gifts together, serving each other, the rich and the poor alike, just using their gifts to build each other up. He's like, that's why I love my church. And I thought to myself as I heard this person share his testimony, that is submitting to each other. Your different walk of life, different background, and yet you can humble yourself to serve and to be served by someone else. Think of how Jesus dignifies the woman at the well by asking her for a drink of water. You would ask me, this Samaritan woman with five previous husbands and a history of pain here, you would ask me a drink of water? And that's what Jesus does. He dignifies her. And so a spirit-filled person is someone who can submit to others. Now, as I talk about all of these behaviors, I wonder, does this surprise any of you? Does this surprise any of you? How often is behavior of a spiritual person portrayed? You can go online and you hear people barking like dogs. Or you have people slain by the Spirit. They faint or they pass out. And I'm not saying the Spirit could never cause someone to bark like a dog or to faint. I mean, Jonathan Edwards talks about people being so overwhelmed with joy in Christ that they fall down. So there could be a filling of the Spirit that does that if it's truly Christ-centered in what God has done. Or you go and you can hear about things, Spirit-filled people, they do things like grave-sucking. And I kid you not, this is what actually happens. People grab onto to tombstones and they believe they can suck the Holy Spirit's anointing out of dead people. And there's a very popular church in this country that teaches that. There's a whole school of prophecy that has this kind of emphasis on it. Now, I guess it's possible that the Spirit could give power through a dead person. I just don't read about those things in Scripture. But what I do read is this. Here's a Spirit-filled person speaking to people with song, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God, submitting to each other out of reverence. That's a Spirit-filled person. But those other extremes, like barking, being slain, some of those things could be silly at best, or demonic at worst, as they resemble much of paganism, channeling spirits and forces beyond you. So this is Spirit-filled for the church of Christ. So don't think to yourself, I'm not a spiritual person. I can never be filled. This is for special people, not for me. Just get that out of your head. This is what being Spirit-filled looks like. And we've got the Holy Spirit, and the Bible calls us to this behavior. And so we get to the last question. How do we get filled? It's a command. Be filled. Now, in the Greek, it's a passive command. So what that means is we can't do it ourselves. We can't control the Spirit. The Spirit blows where He wills. Some people wonder, well, don't we all have the Spirit? How can we be filled with the Spirit? Well, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but being filled with the Spirit is that special joy and control that comes when the Spirit is working on your heart. We're commanded to have that experience. But if the Spirit blows where He wills, the Spirit does what He wants, we can't put God in a box. It's like we hear in the Chronicles of Narnia all the time. Aslan is not a tame lion. It's a powerful lion, strong lion, but he's not tame. Well, the Holy Spirit is not a tame spirit. We can't force the Spirit to work. But yet we're commanded to be filled. So what does that mean then? Well, it means that we can make ourselves ready for the Spirit to work in. We can prepare our hearts and become kindling for the Spirit to set ablaze with fire. A key passage to understanding how we can be filled with the Spirit is in Colossians 3:16. You need to look at that real quick. So here's Colossians 3, verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So it's telling us to do the same thing as Ephesians 5. Sing, speak to each other with songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Give thanks to God. So it's telling us to do the same thing. But yet there's a difference. Ephesians 5 says, "Be filled with the Spirit and do these things." Then Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then do these things." So there is a relationship between letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly and being filled with the Spirit. I think that's how we get filled with the Spirit, is to let the word dwell in us richly. So what does that look like in practice, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Well, it means that you're reading the Bible all the time. You're filling yourself constantly with Scripture. You're meditating on it. You are perhaps memorizing it together as a family. Maybe you sing songs that are Bible-centered in the home after supper. So, to be Spirit-filled is not about doing these crazy rituals to make the Spirit come. It's simply knowing the Bible and staying immersed in it. And then the Spirit will set you on fire. And so I just want to ask you this. Are you letting the word of Christ dwell in your ritual? Are you meditating on this? Are you memorizing Scripture? The thing is, if you just come to Sunday worship services, and if Sunday is the only thing that you're getting from the word, you will be extremely unfilled. Because you're not saturated in the word. You're not letting it dwell in you richly. So Sunday services are of incredible importance. But we need to be doing other things throughout the week. Immersed in Scripture, prayer. And then you can say you are a filled person. Because you'll see how the Spirit is bringing to mind Jesus, who He is, that joy, and how to live for Him. So in conclusion, I want to exhort you to be Spirit-filled. Seek to be Spirit-filled. Be in the Word of God constantly. Develop those good habits and stop making excuses for why you don't read the Bible and saturate yourself in it and start doing it. Also, seek the behavior of a Spirit-filled person. Maybe you can pray about this with God this week. Just ask God, show me if there's any sin here. Help me to do this better. So think, process before the Lord how you're speaking to people. Ask Him to reveal what flavors your language. Think about your worship. Am I worshiping and meaning what I say? Or am I just going through the motions? Think about your prayer life. Are you giving thanks? Think about how you are submitting or not submitting to people. Is there pride there? So those are some things that we can all work on this week as we think about being Spirit-filled. But be immersed in the Word. Be that kindling, and the Spirit can set you ablaze. This is for every Christian, not just the special people, not just for the leaders. Every Christian can be Spirit-filled. So be Spirit-filled. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. We confess that the Holy Spirit proceeds from you and the Son. So we thank you for the Spirit's ministry. We pray that we could love him and worship him as God, and also help us to pursue being filled. Amen.